Our first lesson is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them that what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those that followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our next reading is a rather long one, so please bear with me. It is about Jesus' trial with Pilate and then his crucifixion. But the Jewish leaders had met with Jesus, and they found him guilty of blasphemy. But that's not capital punishment. It is among the Jews, but they are not able to exercise capital punishment, so they had to take Jesus before Pilate under different charges of treason, of charges of him being a king. So listen to the story. As soon as it was morning, the chief priest had held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priest accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priest had handed him over. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest, along with the scribes, who were also mocking him among themselves, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with them also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was God's son." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week, this week that leads us from Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem to the cross, and then next Sunday to the empty tomb, the resurrection. There's so much that goes on during this week, and we move so quickly from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, we often miss what all happened. Today we read the passage of the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, and we also read of the crucifixion. But you know, about a third of each one of the Gospels, they spend that third talking about this week. And yet we tend to miss it. I mean, we read Mark 11, beginning of Mark 11, and then we skipped all the way to Mark 15. And we missed inside that whole week Jesus going into the temple and overturning the tables. We miss his going into Jerusalem and debating and dealing with the religious leaders who were trying to turn the crowd against him. We miss his talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end days. We miss the Lord's Supper. We miss Judas. We miss the praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We miss the Judas's betrayal. We miss the disciples scattering, all 12 of them taking off. We miss the Jewish trial of Jesus. We miss Peter's denial of Jesus. 3 times he denied even knowing Jesus. And then the crucifixion. We begin the week with people shouting out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then there near the end of the week, it's crucify him, put him to death. Now, granted, it was most likely not the same crowd that was giving both of those chants, but perhaps there were some who did do both. This morning I want to tell a story. A man in the crowd. I got the idea of the story out of a book, The Last Words of Jesus by Adam Hamilton. And the second part of my story borrows a good bit from it, from his little story of a man in the crowd, but not, there's a good bit of differences, but I do want to give him credit. So listen to the story. I was leaving Jerusalem. It's the day after the Sabbath. I lived not far outside of Jerusalem, and I was on my way home. And I saw before me this crowd that had been gathering. And they were on either side of the road. It looked as if they were expecting some type of processional or parade. And it got my curiosity up, so I asked, what's going on? And the man told me, it's Jesus. Jesus of Galilee is coming. I said, who? Who's this Jesus? And the man was quite taken back that I had no idea who Jesus was. He said, Jesus, he's the one we believe to be the Messiah. He is the one we believe to be coming to restore Israel to its greatness, to what it was like when King David ruled. This is the one we've been waiting for. Now, this really got my curiosity up, because every Jew was hoping and praying and waiting for the Messiah to come. And could this be the one? Although he did say Jesus of Galilee. I mean, come on, really? Galilee? Those country bumpkins up there? Well, maybe. I don't know. But as we continued to wait, they told me more about this Jesus. They told me that he did miracles, that he healed the sick, that he drove out demons, that he fed the multitude with just small pieces of bread and fish, that he'd even raised someone from the dead. Wow, maybe this is the Messiah. Could it be? And so we were watching, waiting, and we began to hear the cries coming from down the road. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we waited, and people began to put branches, leafy branches, down in the road, and others took their cloaks and laid the cloaks down as if we were preparing for a king to come through. And eventually we could see him. And I have to confess that I got caught up in the excitement. The enthusiasm of the crowd was contagious. And as they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, so did I. Because I truly wanted to believe that this was the Messiah. And then he came into sight. And a curious sight it was. It was almost comical. He was riding on this colt, this donkey, that was too small for a man his size. I was expecting a chariot, or at least a war horse. There was no armor on this man, nor was it on his followers that were coming behind him. I saw no weapons. How was he going to raise up an army to drive the Romans out? Still, there was excitement, and I was still singing out, Hosanna. And when he got close, I looked him right in the eye. We our eyes locked, and he had this penetrating gaze. It just saw everything that was within me. It saw my hopes and my dreams. It saw my fears and my anxieties. It saw everything about me. And I swear, I think he nodded as he went by, nodded at me, as if he says, I know you. Well, soon they had gone on past, and I continued my walk home, and I was left to ponder. Who is this Jesus? Is he Messiah? Is he the one? Are our hopes and our dreams finally coming to fruition? Well, I didn't make it back to Jerusalem the rest of the week, or at least until the end of the week. But I had a listening ear out for those who had gone in and were coming back. And I was listening. Was there a call to arms? Was there a rebellion brewing? Well, I heard of this one rebellion, this one insurrection, but it wasn't being led by Jesus. It was being led by some guy named Barabbas. And it was quickly put down by the Romans. They even captured a few of them, kept them alive for crucifixion. I heard that there was some ruckus in the temple one day, that somebody had gone in and started overturning the merchants' tables that were selling all the things you need for Passover. But no news of this Jesus ready to go against the Romans. So it was Friday. I was on my way into Jerusalem as the Passover was to begin. And I came upon this gruesome, awful sight. Three men being crucified. Three men strung up on crosses. This is an awful, terrible way to die. They nail your arms to the cross beam. They nail your feet to the near the foot of the cross, and you're left there to hang. And slowly your body weight just can't hold itself up, and you can't use your diaphragm to pull in any air, and eventually you just suffocate. It's a long, painful, terrible way to die. Now, I assumed that these were the ones that were part of that resurrection or insurrection that I'd heard about earlier in the week. And obviously, Barabbas was the one in the middle because the people were there hurling insults at him. He was obviously beaten up more than the others. He had been flogged. You could see the stripes of the whip that had ripped the flesh off of his bones. There were some women there. They were as close as the Roman guards would allow them, and they were weeping. As I got closer, though, the face looked somewhat familiar. It was the eyes that gave it away. The face was swollen and bloody from the beating it had taken, but the eyes, those were the eyes I'd seen on that road that led into Jerusalem earlier in the week. Those were the eyes that had penetrated to my very soul. And there they were, hanging on that cross. You would think I would have felt compassion for this man, but to be honest, I didn't. Instead, I felt anger, and I felt hatred, and I despised this man that was hanging on the cross because he had gotten my hopes up, he had gotten my dreams up, and now they were dashed once again. No Messiah, no hope. The insults and the mocking that was coming from the crowd, it was an infection that just filled me also with hate. And they were making fun of him. Oh, he saved others. He can't save himself. Oh, come on down off the cross and we'll believe in you. As I started to walk by to continue my journey into Jerusalem, as I got near him, I said, "What kind of Jew are you? You are pathetic. You talk about loving your enemies. Well, this is what happens when you love your enemies. They crucify you." I looked at him and I spat at him. And he raised up his head and our eyes connected. And once again, he saw the very depth of my being. He saw my anger. He saw my hatred. He saw my frustration, my broken dreams. He saw me to the very core. And I walked right on by him. I had not gotten far along when I heard him cry out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it was as if a sword had been driven right through my heart when I heard those words. And my only thought was, "My God, my God, what have I done?" A man in the crowd. I imagine we all like to imagine we're like those that are on Palm Sunday, waving the branches and crying out or singing out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And we don't want to think of ourselves as being the ones later that week that were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." But in reality, we have the capacity to be both. We can be the ones singing Hosanna, and we can be the ones that cry, "Crucify him." Think of his disciples. They most certainly were singing Hosannas on Palm Sunday. But then when it came down to it, they couldn't even stay awake to pray with Jesus in the garden. When Jesus was arrested, they scattered out in all directions. Judas, one of the disciples, he betrayed him for money. Turned him in. Peter, perhaps the closest disciple to Jesus of all of them, he denied knowing him. "I don't even know the man." 3 times he denied him. Who are we to think that we couldn't say, "Crucify him, crucify him"? We are the people in the crowd, capable of hosannas, capable of crucify him. And as we make this journey this week to the cross and then to the empty tomb, let us remember what kind of people we are, able to praise him and lift him up, able to condemn him, want him dead. So let us prepare ourselves for Easter Sunday, remembering that it was the cross, he went to the cross on our behalf. Let's pray. Oh God, we know ourselves. We know what we are capable of. We are capable of praising you in one breath and condemning you with the next. We are a very fickle people. And in this week, as we make this journey through this Holy Week, let us be reminded of why Jesus went to the cross. That he went on our behalf. He went for our salvation, for our forgiveness of sin. And then as we gather on Maundy Thursday, let us remember the events in the garden, the events in the upper room, the trial and the crucifixion. And let it prepare us for next Easter, that glorious Easter when we celebrate the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus. For we pray this in Jesus' name, the one who was crucified, but also the one who was raised up. Amen.